have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Good evening, everybody. Minister Cedric, I'm back. Thank you, Sister Kimmy, for having us on Elation Radio. Everybody, welcome back. And this has been a it's been a mighty powerful week for me, mighty powerful week. And last week I had a good week. I had a wonderful weekend. This week has been just a really good week. But, wow, I am being tested like you wouldn't believe. I keep feeling all these things. And my whole thing about relentless pursuit, man, I'm pushing through schoolwork and trying to pack up a house. And I'm just doing a lot, dude. And, you know, I have to get myself together. But today is a good day. I won't even tell what the topic is right now. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to have everybody listening. I wanted to bring in my partner, Jason. We were having a discussion earlier. Jason, are you on with us right now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. How are you today?
I am well, good sir. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there, trying to absorb a few things. I'm kind of giddy right now, but everything is good. But you know what? Without further ado, let's go ahead. Go ahead and jump right in, because I don't know where to start with this one. Well, I want to first tell everybody, you know, I've been checking out the news today. For the last few weeks, I've been checking out the news. I've been, you know, listening to some hearings that are on, and I've been checking out the local news here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I've been kind of looking at the weather, loving that 100-degree temps down there in Texas. Can't wait to be in the sun again. But today, this morning, I was looking at the news and I saw, wow, they overturned Roe v. Wade. I know some of y'all are gonna say, well, what does that got to do with a podcast and we're talking about relentless pursuit and you believe in God and you love God? Well, honestly, it's a concerning topic, and it is. If you've turned on your TVs today for 5 minutes, you've seen that Roe v. Wade has been overturned by a Supreme Court. And, Brother Jason, I know we were talking about this a little bit earlier. If you don't mind, you don't mind kind of discussing this for a little bit today, do you?
No, I think it's a good topic.
I think it's a good topic. Okay, well, that's good. Well, how do you feel about Roe v. Wade being overturned?
To be just honest, I think it was the right decision, because I think Roe v. Wade was a bad decision. So I just truly believe in the United States of America, and if people are being, or if laws are being pushed down people's throat without them overarching, then I don't think that's something that's going to be productive and conducive long term. So this has absolutely nothing
explain
to do with my Christian value. And my Christian, yeah.
So, I mean, you just can't just throw that out there. You know, explain that for
so,
me.
So I believe in community. And I think communities can establish their own morality. You know, you and I talk about it all the time. Not everybody in America is Christian, right? And as a Christian, enforce my Christian value, morality, beliefs on you, just because you're non-Christian. Nor should I have the right to. Now, if there is a community of people who share those same values and beliefs, then I want to have the ability to connect to that community. So when I think about, and this is just kind of taking a step back from the decision of Roe v. Wade and just looking at the role of government, I don't believe government is there to be the overarching savior of everything. I believe that everything starts with the smaller community, right? And if you look at, you know, how the church was formed, it wasn't formed from a group of legislators in a state saying, hey, we're going to form this group. It was formed by 12 men and Christ coming together in a community and deciding, like, hey, we're going to affect change. So when I say Roe v. Wade was an overreach by the federal government, what I mean by that is not saying that I think abortion is wrong. Well, I do from a morality perspective, I think it's wrong. But I think it's even wronger for, I think it's even more wrong for then someone to say you are now forced to be okay with this, even in your community, in your community, the people that you're dealing with. So that's what I mean when I say, well, I think Roe v. Wade was overreach.
I first want to ask a couple. I want to ask this question. When you say community, what are you talking about? What do we mean community? What are you talking about?
The states. I see the states as a form of community.
You see a state as a whole community.
Right.
I kind of see where you're heading with that. But so, like, the funny thing is, the funny thing is, I'm pro-life. I think abortion is all wrong. But I think that there are some instances where abortion shouldn't be wrong. And for me, I say, if, let's say the doctor says, you know what, this baby ain't going to make it. I know that God can make anything possible. A lot of Christians, I know I'm going to catch a lot of flack for this, and I'm cool with that. But I know that God can make anything possible. But if they say there's no heartbeat, and we can't detect the baby's breathing, and let's say she's in her, I don't know, second trimester. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I think that, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with your opinion on that. Because community, when I hear you say community and your meaning for community, that's just a kind of a pleasant way of the states should be in charge of that. I think the problem we have is so many of us, I wouldn't have a problem with you saying that if gerrymandering wasn't so prominent. On the Democratic side, because if you go to New York, you'll find it, and on the Republican side, I just think it is it's tough because I feel like, and I think I feel the way I feel is because today we're talking about Roe v. Wade. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of other rights, in which I got to admit, I'm against those too. But I guess for me, I'm saying, where does it stop? Where does it stop? Do we go back to the 19th century? Because if we go back to the 19th century with these laws, and you put it, well, I don't think the law should be forced down people's throats. But either way, it's going to be forced down somebody's throat. Because if you're telling me I've got to let my wife die as opposed to aborting a baby, that she and I both agree should be aborted, you're forcing a law down my throat. And I'm not here to defend or to persecute anybody who says they were wrong or that they were right for overturning Roe v. Wade. I just want to kind of bring some sense to it. I want to try to make myself understand, because for some reason, me personally, I was just like, that's going to be pretty tough, because I'm the guy who always says, I want all these Christian things, but I realize everybody's not Christian, and I'm not trying to make you be a Christian. Am I wrong for feeling like this? Does that sound weird to you?
It does, but here's the deal. I would tell you this. I would never support a federal law that says abortion is legal across the United States either, right? Even as a Christian, and unlike you, I don't believe abortion is ever – there's never reason to have an abortion, right? So even with that belief.
So you said, mm-hmm. I just want to make sure I got what you said. You said you don't believe there's ever a reason. No matter what, there's never a reason.
No, I don't think there's ever a reason.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. Okay. All right,
go ahead. Even with that being said, like if someone came to me and said, hey, you're going to have this federal law that outlaws abortion across the whole United States, I couldn't stand in support of it. I really could not. Only because, once again, I believe that I have a Christian value and Christian morality, and that's for me and my community. If there are other communities out there
who have different values, they should be able to have those. They should be able to exist in those. Within our United States, we should be able to have opposing values, views, morality. Now, there has to be a consensus, you know, and I think most of us, we have agreed upon consensus, but when you start getting down to things like, hey, is this killing a baby or not? That's not as clearly defined. I don't think everybody, we're as a group, our morality may switch and sway a bit. So I couldn't support a law that would outlaw abortion across the United States either, just like I can't support a law that makes it legal across the United States. You know, I'm not going to lie. You said what?
No. I just want to clarify what you're saying, because if you go on, I won't be able to, you know. So you're saying, okay, look, I cannot support a law that mandates that says abortion is legal across the United States. And then you're saying, okay, I cannot support a law that says abortion is illegal across the United States. Right?
Right.
Okay, keep going. I don't want to put it out there. I want everybody to get it. Go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, so like I said, I think, you know, if a state gets together and the people in that state decide, like, hey, we're okay with this, they should have the ability to say that, right? They should have the ability to say, hey, I'm okay with that. And the reason why I say that now is that, you know, because if you don't like a situation, just like if you don't like a job, you move to the next job. Right, you don't like the neighborhood you live in, you move to the next neighborhood.
Really, but
right?
I think right there though, Jace, I'm gonna be real with you. I think you're just kind of really being unrealistic. People don't just pick up and move 1,000 miles away from home. That don't make sense. I get what you're saying. I just think it don't make sense. But before we continue to go on, I want to go ahead and bring on. We got one other guest we want to bring on. Terry, are you on with us? I just want to make
sure.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. Hey, we just having a little chat about the Supreme Court decision today, Roe v. Wade. I see you out there, so I wanted to go ahead and bring you in.
Right.
But did you hear what Jason was just talking about? Before?
Yes, I did.
I just want to make sure. Okay, cool. So.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in my opinion because my opinion says. My opinion says, personal opinion, and my love for Christ and humanity says, okay, abortions are wrong. But, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I need some help with this because I'm struggling because I'm saying, but there are some instances where it's life or death if the baby's already. So, can you help us to understand? Can you add anything to our conversation tonight? Or would you like to?
I hope. Yes, I would love to.
Okay.
I've been listening to the conversation. And one of the things I think as Christians that we forget is God is a God that wants us to choose him and choose the right things. He's never forced anything upon us. He wants us to choose. Same should be, that's the way the laws are. The laws are structured to where we have a right to choose. We either choose to do good or we choose to do evil. We choose to keep our hands off of stuff or we choose to steal. Those types of things. This right here, this is a matter of choice. It should be a matter of choice. You know, and I'm not God. And I think what happens is that we as people, government, Christians, right-wing Christians, have a God complex and want to play God, and play God with people's decisions and will and their ability to choose or not to choose. And again, this is about a relation, their personal relationship. And my thing is, I have no right to divvy and to dibble and dabble in your relationship with Christ like that. If, like you said, if something's going on that I'm not aware of, only you and the doctor know, and you and your wife choose to say, you know what, the baby is deformed, the baby is not going to be healthy, the baby's going to die after being born 6 months, we need to go ahead and terminate this pregnancy. That's between you, the doctor, and God.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah,
and if
yeah.
that's the choice that, and if that's the choice that you make, that's the choice that you make that you have to deal with. That's between you and God. I've noticed I didn't say the doctor. That's between
yeah.
you and God. And
yeah.
I think what
yeah.
happens is now we're having government, we're having right-wing evangelicals play God. And what's going to happen is that you're going to find people that are going to start what happened before back in the 60s and back in the 50s and the 60s, where women were going into dark alleys and taking coat hangers and having abortions and dying in alleys. All because they don't have a place to go to get a safe and healthy, I mean a safe, whether it be to abort the child or whether to place the child up for adoption or whatever. Now you're trying to make them carry a where they've probably been raped or someone, you're gonna try to make them now carry that baby to term, and that's not good either.
Yeah, cause see, I suggest you still with me, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
My point is this. My point is this, and my thought is this. Like everything, and I'm gonna be honest with everybody. Hey, our government is what it is. I enjoy being in America. I love it. I've been to other countries, and I say America's probably the best place you want to live. But the problem I have is I see abortion as a gateway decision to other decisions. I don't know if y'all have read anything.
I agree.
Today, but Clarence Thomas has already said, you know what? I think that gay marriage, now, again, something I don't support, okay? It's on the table, right? Gay relationships is on the table. And in Alabama, they already said, you know what? We're gonna try to write a law so that if you go to another state where abortion is illegal, when you come back to Alabama, you can be prosecuted and all this stuff. But I think it's a gateway to something bigger, something more sinister at times. And that's my big fear. My big fear is that we are a country of Christians and non-Christians. And we are a country of men, and we are a country of women. And I'm struggling because the issue I have is this. The act of abortion is wrong. The act of me governing what you do privately in your home is also wrong. Where do we stop? Where does it stop? And so I'm struggling with that. And with this Roe v. Wade decision, I mean, can y'all see anything else that could be happening from this? Or are you pretty sure and you're pretty confident that this is just Roe v. Wade?
No, it's not going to be Roe v. Wade.
No.
But I mean, let's take a step back, though. Let's take a step back, right? Because we have to truly be honest and be sincere about the discussion, right? Terry, I totally agree with you. We're not God. We don't have a heaven and hell to put you in, right? And the final judgment of what happens to you is between you and God. But as a community, we say certain things are okay and not okay, right? Now, the question is, how far do we feel like, because the real question isn't that this is something that's a standard process, right? I can't go to a place and let's say, hey, I choose to have sex with 13-year-old boys. There's no place in America that's going to allow me to do that. Why? Because every
that's
community says that's not okay.
That's not true.
But what I'm saying is this. As a community, we will step in and define morality for our community. And that's something that has been around for a while. Now, I do agree with you. As a Christian, I can't force morality down your throat, right? I can't make you say, God is, you know, my God is your God, and you're going to live your life according to that standard. And as a Christian, it's not really about the laws on the book. It's about the person that I'm walking with. But as a member of a community, I do have that say-so, right? And I think laws like Roe v. Wade eliminates that say-so, right? So if the state of Texas, which where I live, if they say, no, we don't want abortion in the state, well, I believe that community can say that because there's another community, California, that says, hey, we're good with it. Come over here, right? And we have done that through time. So to say like this is not something we've done, It's not being realistic because we have, as a community, said these things are not allowed. We have not given everybody carte blanche to exercise the free will God has given us. right?
Okay, but,
I can't just walk into a room and just shoot everybody.
That's not true, because they just said you can carry guns wherever you want in New York. They won't even allow them to ban guns out of certain communities in New York. But what I'm saying, though, let's just be honest. Let's stop using words like community, because you're talking about states. Let's just call it what it is, states. Like you said, let's be honest. But my thing is, and I feel what you're saying. I do. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, but then where does it stop? Because you're saying you can't make me say abortion is good. I'm not trying to make you do that. And then I'm on the other side saying, well, you can't make me say it's bad, right? So you talking about a community agreeing. How does that fit? You know, I think we should be allowed certain choices, but I think one way or the other, if we give the states these, like what you're saying, Jason, you're saying, well, the states should be allowed to decide whether abortion is legal in the state or not. Okay, I can agree with that. But the problem is, because we are a corrupt people, and I'm saying we, because all of the United States, we're going to figure out a way so your vote don't count. It's funny to me, and I'm struggling. That's why I'm struggling. I want y'all to know that's the reason I'm struggling. And I'm not going to be able to really, because I don't see it stopping at Roe v. Wade. I think my big concern with Christians before was when we got into same-sex marriage, I said, people, Christians, my brothers, let them call it civil unions. Let them call it what they want. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. We don't want to fight. We are going, anybody who knows me, they know where I'm at on this issue. And what happened? Now we're fussing about them being able to say we're married and they got to be covered insurance and we have to do all of these things. When do we become, Jason, in your words, when do we become a real community where we can live together
without making other people?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can I say this? Without trying to impose what you believe on someone else, allow them to make a choice. You set this baseline. Like, take for instance, we all say that we're equal, we're all, one nation under God, you know, and all this stuff like that. And justice for all. Okay, and check this out. Just like the heterosexual couple that pays taxes, gay people pay taxes. And if they pay taxes, and I talked to a judge about this the other day, and he said the problem was if we just went ahead and said, you know what, you're right, you pay taxes, we just won't marry anybody else at the courthouse or whatever, that would have killed part of it, because now it's equal treatment for everybody, not just one group.
Right.
Okay, so if we had went ahead and just said, you know what, you're right, you pay taxes, you should have access to someone that you pay their salary with tax money, and that's what that really boiled down to. And so, and my thing is this: I'm one of these type of people. It's kind of where it's like, okay, live and let live, and let God do the thing, not do His thing. My job is to fish. And God's job is to clean them up. Does that make sense? His job, it's His job. But I think what happens is we as believers, we want to not only do the fishing, but we want to try to do the cleaning as well. And that's not our role. So even with this Roe versus Wade thing, our job is not to govern and try to tell people. You know, our job is to minister, yes, to teach the word of God, yes, but it's the people's decision to either accept it or reject it, and it's also God's decision to clean them up.
See, I kind of feel the same way. Again, the reason Roe v. Wade touched me so is because I'm the guy. I'll tell you, I'm the guy that just says, nah. But then I look at the little or the major, the nuances, the life of the mother, the life of the child. I've seen children who were born with severe birth defects and they need round the clock care, and the doctor says, well, they probably won't live to be 20 or 9 or 10. I had a cousin, a distant cousin, who was born with severe birth defects, and the doctor said she probably wouldn't live to see 5. The little girl lived till she was 13 or 14. But to see what her mom and her dad had to go through to take care of her, and she never knew, because she really didn't have much brain activity, and she never really knew, but she lived that 13, 14 years, and those parents were proud and happy. And you can't be mad at that. You can't. But I also know of a young lady from Dallas who, by the time she was 18, had at least 2, maybe 3 abortions before she was 18. To this day, she has 4 kids. And like, I'm stuck in the middle. I'm stuck because I've heard tales of women dying giving birth, and the mother and the baby died, right? Or maybe the baby survived, or maybe my mom, my own mom. I would have had a brother who was 2 years older than me, but he died. He was basically, he was stillborn. He only took a couple of breaths and he died. And there, you know, that was back in the 1960s. So they didn't know. And with decisions like this, I just get stuck. I'm not even trying to find the answer. I'm really not. I'm not even trying to find the answer, but I'm just talking about it because I think that with this decision, I don't think it's going to stop there. I think it's going to go into bigger things. And again, I'm not against living in a Christian nation. I will say this, and this is, I think this is another reason I'm upset, and I'll let both of you guys jump in, but here's another reason I'm upset, because of the same people who say that this is Christian values are the same people, okay, who think it's okay to abuse black people. They think it's okay. We can say we support the blue as long as they're killing black folk, right? They can say we support this amendment as long as it oppresses another people. And these are the same people who are calling themselves Christians, and they're all the same people. I can go on and on. I can just jump right in with Clarence Thomas. Let's not go there, Sidney, because we don't know for certain. But we know what his wife has done, and we know he hasn't recused himself. But that's the problem I got. So that's where I'm going to go with the big problem. That's the problem I got. My problem ain't even with the whole big decision about Roe v. Wade. My problem is about the people making the decision who claim they're making them for all of us, and really they're making the decisions for themselves. And that's why I'm struggling. That's why I'm struggling. Am I off base? Either one of y'all think I'm off base?
Yeah, so let me ask you a question. If that's the source of your struggle, where you feel like, hey, I'm claiming to make decisions for you, but I'm making decisions for yourself, then how is your expectation that these people are making decisions for the people that they're governing over?
I don't think I really truly understand it the way you put it.
So, like, if you're saying your frustration is that the people who are making decisions are doing it for selfish reasons, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then help me, correct me, then you feel like they should be making decisions not because of what they want to do, but according to the will and the governance of the people that they're over. Like,
correct.
Hey, I need you to make a decision that's good for me because I put you in charge to govern me, right?
No. Well, I guess, no. You know, I'm glad you asked that. I'm glad you asked that. I think for me, I always look for, now I never used to be like this, but where I'm at today, I look for a medium. I look for what's in the middle. Because you can satisfy some of the people some of the time, but you can't satisfy all the people all the time.
Okay.
But now I will say this with Roe v. Wade. I will say this. We got 50 years of precedence behind us. Another struggle I have. It'd be like, for me, it's like as if they would, I'll use the Voting Rights Act. They stripped the Voting Rights Act. They basically, there were certain clauses that they took out. And I'll let you know a couple of those clauses. In states like Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, let's go down south, Georgia, where in the 1960s, when they implemented the Voting Rights Act, if they wanted to change if they wanted to gerrymander an area, they had to get federal approval in order to do that, because the history in these states was so racist. And they said it before that they would never, ever, black people shouldn't vote in these states. But when they started to strip the Voting Rights Act, it left that open. And all I got to say to you is now go look and see what's happened over the last couple of years in those states. I think that if we don't put some sort of restraints out there, then, you know, we're kind of going to tilt the, unbalance the scales, if I may. Does that make sense, Jason?
It does. I mean, I hear what you're saying. And like I said, that kind of goes to my original struggle, right? That if you leave it up to the states and the individual of those states to govern themselves, then you're leaving them to do the right thing. And history has shown us, even recent history has shown us, that there are times where, you know, they're not going to do the right thing. Or if they are going to do the right thing, it's not for the greater good of all parties involved, but a smaller group within it, you know. So I get that piece. And that's definitely something I totally understand, you know. But I think for me, I think you just do a lot better when you have smaller communities trying to dictate and make determinations of what they want to do, right? I feel like we have a greater chance of success when, you know, it's not this overarching federal government that's trying to make a decision, but it's a smaller group of people.
I will agree one thing with you. If we just did it by state, the people in charge of those states will definitely have their way. I think they will definitely have their way. Because, and you know what? The funny thing, and I'm going to tell you what I believe is going to happen. This is a funny thing about politics in America, in my opinion, is that what will happen eventually is all of these, you know, all the people that are up in arms, they're upset. Eventually, I'm just going to say, there's going to be a fraction of the people who take over the governor's mansion and both houses in these states, and they're going to try to write these rules, right? They're going to say, well, y'all took away Roe v. Wade. We're going to put it back, and we're going to try to make it permanent because, you know, they're going to have the judicial and the political power to do that. And I think that we're just going to keep going back and forth. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Terry, what you think? I think he left you.
I'm here. I'm listening. Give me the question again. I'm just kind of just thinking. I'm just rolling right now.
Well, I'm just going off of what Jason was just talking about, where the states should have the choice. And I think that what's going to happen is eventually the state legislatures are going to turn over. They're going to be majority one party, and they're going to say, okay, y'all overturn Roe v. Wade, we're going to turn it back over, and we're going to try to make it permanent. And we all know, I don't know, it's political discourse, but I think the thing is that my concern is that we are going to start forcing people to do things a certain way, and we're going to use these judicial offices in order to do it, and I think we're going to tilt this whole country to where things are just unfair across the board.
Yes, it does, and I totally agree with you. It's become more about ideology than it has become. It's become more about ideology and the person or whoever or a group of people versus the masses. Prime example. I mean, I know this is really not directly on Roe versus Wade, but I was listening to the pieces on the January 6th and how you have, we were a breath, a heartbeat away from having having an attorney general in place that was not even uniquely qualified, that was not even qualified to be the attorney general. And if the two that were ahead of him had not, if the one that was ahead of him hadn't said or stood up to him and said, look, if you appoint this guy, I'm quitting. And everybody in the Justice Department is going to quit with me. We would have been sitting here having another conversation. Because, when, and I say all that to say, when you have a person that, when you have people that are aligned to a person or a particular ideology that doesn't benefit so much the masses or the greater number of people, and they feel like they can control the narrative and control the governance, control the laws, you're going to have people, that's where a lot of this, that's where your people are going to flock to. They're going to flock to those types of people, and they're going to support that type of stuff. And because honestly, truth be told, I was listening to Morning Joe this morning, and he said, was it 90, was it 85 to 90% of American people support Roe versus Wade? Why are you even fooling with it? Yes.
I didn't even know.
He said it this morning. He said there was a Gallup poll that was done just recently, and one that was before, and it's always hovered around 85% of the people agree, stay, don't touch Roe versus Wade. Don't, it's fine, leave it alone.
Wow.
So what does that tell you?
I said,
you got a minority amount of people making decisions for a larger group of people on how they should live and how they should conduct themselves.
Yeah, because here's my thing. When Jason, tell me if I'm wrong, Jason, because you were saying you think that the community should, your word is community should decide. But how about, I don't know if y'all ever heard of this, Loving vs. Virginia. They made a movie about that. It was a movie I saw. It was Loving vs. Virginia. Was a case that was before the Supreme Court back in 1967. And what it basically said, because remember, Jason, I told you there are still laws on the books in certain states that don't allow interracial relationships. But Loving versus Virginia, and Virginia was one of those states, in 1967, it basically said that it looked at the 14th Amendment, and it said that, they said that you couldn't have interracial marriages. But they looked at the 14th Amendment, and they found that interracial was a right, that we ought to be able to date and marry and procreate with whatever race of person that we want. I'm nervous about this because do y'all think that they're going to start changing this? Is it going to go beyond Roe v. Wade? Are we going to start rolling stuff all the way back to the 19th century here in America? Are we going, we roll back the Voting Rights Act. Everybody knows that was a monumental thing. And I'm telling you now, since we rolled it back, we got some issues in voting rights. Now we're rolling back Roe v. Wade. Some women are going to suffer. Some women are going to hurt from this. And the sad thing is, I'm going to be honest with you. I know I think politicians is all crooked. A lot of them politicians that's back there trying to roll back Roe v. Wade, they pay for abortions for their lovers, right? Now, I don't have no real evidence. I ain't never talked to nobody. But I'm just saying, where does it stop? Are we okay with this? Jason, you okay with this? Because I know you okay, right?
So the question becomes is and if a state tells me something is not allowed, then the beautiful thing is I can get up and move to a state where it is allowed. So for me, the when you talk about laws and rules and those different things that, you know, may not fit my sense of morality, my sense of what I think is right and wrong, well, that's fine. They're allowed to have them, right? Beautiful thing is I can take myself out of the subject of that law by just changing my location. And I say that because
I have to believe that as a Christian, I'm able to have beliefs, and I'm able to go into a building every Sunday and expound on those beliefs and say and yes. be able to worship to those beliefs. And if someone doesn't like those beliefs, they have the ability to get up and leave, not to come into my building and say, well, I don't like your beliefs. Now you need to change what you're doing because I don't agree with it. Right. So for me, it's more important that I'm able to maintain that community. I'm able to maintain that those belief systems in that smaller group and allow that portability. Like if I don't like it, I just move. Right. And so that's more important to me than me saying like, I'm not trying to force anything down anybody's throat, because the reality is this: if I had to have an abortion in Texas, I can't. But guess what? I'll just go to the closest state that allows it, right? And then come home. And right now,
that
there's nothing to stop me from doing that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
What is there to stop me from doing that?
Money. I'm going to say it one more time. Maybe you can get money.
All right. Yeah, well, here's the deal.
Money.
There are people out there. Yeah, but no. I mean, we're not in a situation where traveling across country, interstate travel is difficult. We do it every day.
Where are we not?
No.
Man,
and here's the deal. Is it affordable for every aspect of people in our community? No.
What?
You know, I can get in my car right now, drive 2 hours to be in Louisiana. Hour and a half being Oklahoma. Interstate travel is not that difficult. So let's not sit here and act like.
I got a bicycle. I don't have no car. I got a bicycle. How am I going to get to Oklahoma? You want me to ride a bike to Oklahoma?
Well,
maybe somebody stole my bike when I went to the gas station. Now I got to get out and walk to Oklahoma?
Okay. Well, I was going to say like this. If we're being realistic, if we're truly being realistic, you've seen it happen now, when you see it happen now, for those people who are in those, like we do, when people who don't have the means to take advantage of the liberties that we have in this country, other people step in and give them those means, right?
How many homeless people did you see under the bridges in Dallas? When's the last time you went downtown Dallas? How many homeless people you see down there?
Right, but you also see just as many people working to feed those homeless people, to clothe those homeless people.
Throw something in there and go, Jason.
Go ahead.
I don't want my mama to know that I'm pregnant. I don't want my family to know. I've been raped and I'm pregnant. I don't want my family to know that I was raped. So I want to do this on my own. I'm 25 years old.
Okay.
I was raped.
And if you have the financial means, you get it done. But if you don't have the financial means, you're not getting it done anyway. Right,
there's places that they could go get it done, okay, with minimal cost, if any, if it was made available to them, okay.
Right, but it is available to them, just not where they live. And I've seen organizations that will say, hey, you know what, we can give you rides to various states to for whatever reason at free to no cost. Right, because they believe in that. Because what they understand is this: hey, you don't have the resources to take advantage of the liberties that this country offers. Right. So what I'm going to do is step in and fill the gap. So it'd be
that be the case though?
Huh?
But Jason, should that be the case though, where somebody has to ride across state lines to go have something, a medical procedure that they may, if they don't have it, they'll die. Or if they don't have it, they're going to be forced to have this child that they were a victim of rape, and they're going to be forced to have this child. And honestly, I know people who've had children out of rape, and honestly, it hurts the child.
Yeah.
And they're developed because they look and they see that child, they see the person that raped them, and they mistreat those children. And honestly, to take the liberty away from some people just to please a small segment of society, that is wrong. I'm telling you, somebody told me this, okay? I know what Cedric said earlier, honestly, but the thing about it is people fight for rights. They're not trying to take away yours. They're just trying to fight for what they should have. It should have a long time ago. That's what happened with us in the civil rights movement. We should have had our rights a long time ago. We shouldn't have to fight for nothing. You know what I'm saying? If I'm paying taxes, I shouldn't have to fight for nothing. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, I agree with you.
I agree with you.
I'm a taxpaying citizen. That citizenship should allow me access to the things that I'm supposed to have.
Okay, I agree with that. But I want to throw this out there. You know, we talked about abortion, you know, but what about if a woman has a, what they call it, the baby's in her tubes, right? We know that.
Tubal pregnancy.
Yeah. We know that could be catastrophic. That could kill the woman. You can't even abort that baby. You can't take that baby out. These are the kinds of things that I'm afraid of because I don't know this stuff. I'm not a woman. I'm going to be honest. My wife went through two pregnancies, and thank God I have three wonderful kids, and they're all adults now, and God forbid. You know, I don't agree with abortion. I want to, again, continue to push that. I don't. But, man, when I see equality, I'm not seeing it in that. And mostly for me, I'm not seeing it because I see people. I see corrupt people, and I could be wrong. I could be very judgmental, but that's what I see. And I see you give an inch, and then they take a mile. And that's what I'm struggling with. I want to thank both of y'all because I appreciate y'all being totally honest, definitely transparent. But this is, it's bigger than just this little conversation. I feel like I just talked around in circles for a little bit myself. I apologize if I didn't get my points across. But I just don't think it's going to stop at Roe v. Wade. I think it's going to morph into something else. We thought it was going to stop at voting rights. It morphed into something else. And all of these things, I believe that they're just going to keep morphing and keep changing into something else. One of the points you made, Jason, I agree with, in the ideal world, you're 100% right. We should be able to go to another state that if you live in Texas, as far away as the nearest country, you're closer to Mexico than you are California. I get it, but I just think that we do have to learn to be more tolerant of one another. I have to be tolerant to the bigot who lives down the street. I have to be tolerant of the same-sex couple who live down the street. I have to be tolerant of the noisy teenagers who run around. I personally believe that I still have to find a way to live with these people, either live with them or live separated from them. That whole community thing that I heard you talking about, Jason, we talking states here. I know that's what you mean. You told me. I don't think states are communities. But with that being said, we got just a few more minutes left. Sister Kimmy, you can go ahead and cue us up the music. But I will give each one of y'all just take a chance. Just take a few moments. Just tell us, you know, just leave us with a parting word here. Terry,
well,
you go first.
Okay. We should have learned from our past. When people start taking things away, it's going to be twice as hard to get it back. And realize that I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. Awesome. What about you, Jay?
No, I mean, this is definitely a very passionate and loaded topic. But in the end, you know, and I think Terry talked about it. I mean, our job as Christians is just to love the sinner, right? And that means even in spite of our own government who may step in and try to make it difficult, right? You know,
yes.
So, you know, like I said, I believe the laws on the land, they may dictate what's moral, what's legal. They may dictate what's legal, but I know what's right, right? And I just got to serve God in the best way and capacity. And that's what I call on all of us to do. Even if I may not agree with those laws, I'm going to love the person who is exercising their right to follow that law.
Amen. See, that's why I love you too, brother. I appreciate y'all really enlightening everybody's thoughts because, I mean, I got so much I want to say, but I want to, right as we get ready to close out, we got just about another minute left here. I just want to say this. This is something I wrote down a long time ago. I think I was preparing for a sermon, and I said, some people follow Jesus for personal gain. I also wrote out there, some people follow Jesus. Here it is, for social recognition. But I want to be amongst these people. I want to be amongst these people. I encourage everybody to join hands and join in with these people. Some people follow Jesus for personal salvation. You see, my salvation ain't going to come from a law or a rule or anything like that. It's going to come from my personal relationship with Christ. And I encourage everybody, just increase that relationship with Christ. Right? Get with Christ every day, often as you can, because you need him. We need him. And with that being said, I just want to say thank y'all for showing up tonight, this beautiful Friday evening. And I hope y'all have a wonderful weekend. Y'all know how we say when we close out today, we just say find something you love, you embrace it. And chase it. That is your relentless pursuit. Instead of I'm signing off this weekend. God bless you. God keep you. And have a wonderful weekend. Thank you, fellas. I appreciate it much.
I feel like Bruce Banner. Can't nobody stop me. My plug got the answer. I know my God got me. I'm unstoppable. You can't stop what is meant to prosper. Nah. Got them hits like an LA Dodger. Yeah. God chose me, put me on the roster. Yeah. Chasing goals, I won Grammys and Oscars. Took some losses, but I'm still a winner. Been forgiven, but I'm still a sinner. Wanna see me fail, that won't happen though. I'm the front page in the centerfold. I can't be stopped, I got the power. My enemies looking real sour. Trying to hold me back like rush hour. All obstacles, I straight devour. No one's gonna stop me, I promise I don't play. You don't wanna whip me, I'm coming no delay. Hear a lot of talking no matter what he say. Turning up the hustle, I'm bringing a heat wave. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me.
I got the Holy Ghost, I do not need to boast.
Nah.
Strength within, release through the pen. Write about my sin, cause it inspires men. Humble with the time to let him put me on high. The power that is in me can't be seen like Wi-Fi. Overcome the look of fear and tell it bye-bye. Undefeated through the Lord, no I won't lie. Oh my, oh my, you don't wanna waste time. It'll fly by, fly by. Came into the game, it was all in vain. Switched up a frame, now I'm in my own lane. Gotta see the vision, get a plan, make it clear. Pray and set the hustle on, I will appear. Never quit, stay the course, trust faith. Even when you think the dream is coming late. I've already had a lot of reasons I can throw in the towel, but the spirit living in me doesn't ever let me know how. Tired of all the rappers claiming what they're really not like. Wow, I see a lot of foolery, not fooling me. I gotta call a foul. Can't be stopped, will not quit. I got goals, I'm gon' hit. Go so hard, I'm so lit. Mind on him, homie, that's it.
He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me.
First on the resurrection, stepped on in, healed my infection. Since that day I've had your protection, no question about it, my best selection. Got the picture like panorama, all glory up to Hosanna. My fire lit, started going hammer, that's why I feel like Bruce Banner.
He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she